Nothing tastes as good as a cup of Bahamian tea.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.
You are listening to the podcast Tea and Talk, presented to inform, educate, inspire, and encourage meaningful conversations on Bahamian art and culture. My name is Robert Bain, dancer, teacher, choreographer, and someone who believes in the preservation of all things Bahamian. I am sitting down with persons of like mind to discuss the Bahamian perspective on the arts and the Bahamian way. Now, let's welcome our guest.
Okay, welcome to Tea and Talk. We're back with another podcast, you know. It's kind of slow in coming, but it's coming slowly. So welcome again to Tea and Talk. This podcast is emanating from Nassau, Bahamas, one of the islands of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We boast of 700 islands, and 30 of them are inhabited by beautiful people. It's a beautiful day here in the Bahamas. It's hot as hell, but it's a beautiful day. It's a good day for the beach and everything else. And, you know, come down. You want to come and visit? We're here. We like life, and we live it here in the Bahamas. Food, people, wonderful, wonderful. But, you know, this podcast was designed to help become a platform for the artists in the country, and we talk about everything. And hopefully at the end of the podcast, you'll be a bit smarter. So that's the idea. But right now, we're going to have a talk about something amazing that's happening here in Nassau, Bahamas, with regard to education, dance education, the arts. Somebody who has decided to help us try to put things in perspective, try to bring everything in one place, basically, that we can actually see it and feel it and experience it. So today, this podcast, my guest today is Kristen Carroll, and this is her third time here on Tea and Talk. Of course, a little brief history. Kristen is the grandniece of Shirley Hall Bass, Bahamian icon, American icon, Bahamian-American icon, who contributed, a lot to the development of dance here in the Bahamas. And as her grandniece, you know, she has decided not to allow things to just die, and she's basically continuing along the way with some of the ideas that Ms. Bass might have had and probably shared with her, and some of her own ideas on how we can move dance in the country forward through many different ways, and one of those is education. Kristen, welcome to Tea and Talk. Welcome for a third time. Always good to see you.
So happy to be here, Robert. I really appreciate the opportunity to share about my work and about the talented people of the Bahamas that I just, every trip that I come down, every time I meet people, every time I'm speaking about my work, I find such understanding, such rapport, right, with the Bahamian people, because we all understand performance through the indigenous practice of junkanoo.
Right.
There's not a person down here, I think, hasn't seen or felt that drum and cannot appreciate my language around performing arts, which is really about social skills and life skills, like confidence and creativity, understanding your culture. That's what I'm about.
Yes. Well, you know, this is, it is important that, too, that Bahamians know who they are. And it's important that we help to create the narrative, help to paint the picture for everybody to see. Because the Bahamians are very talented people. We're very cultural minded. And so we need to put it together. And there's so much that we can learn from each other. And you're going to help us to learn, hopefully, make visible who we are as Bahamian and what we have to offer to the world. So, Kristen, tell me about some of your projects. Let's kind of talk a little bit about the Shirley Hall Bass projects first. Tell us what that is. And then we'll talk about some of the things that you're doing here.
Yeah. So as you know, Robert, Dr. Faith Butler and I started the Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project when we were really trying to understand what my aunt had done for dance and performing arts education and, you know, the history of performing arts in the Bahamas. She was a very well-known choreographer, stager. She collaborated with Freddie Munnings, etc. And in recognizing sort of the zenith, I would say, of this post-independence expression of cultural identity and pride, Shirley was right in the mix in the ethos of that. And what Faith and I discovered 20 years after her death was that we were not seeing that same commitment, particularly from the government and other institutions, organizational institutions like UB and other institutions. We weren't seeing the level of commitment, the type of commitment to scholarships, the type of commitment to performing arts education in the schools. And so we started the Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project. We have been holding conferences, both virtually and for the past 3 years now. This is our seventh annual Dance Educators Forum. The past 3 years, we've had in-person meetings, and we've brought down some really excellent dance educators, good friends of mine from the States, from Jamaica, from Barbados, to share their gifts in dance, in performing arts education, with the young dancers, both pre-professional and professional dancers in the country. We've also been very focused on methodologies and education. And when we talk about culture and education, what we're talking about is culturally responsive practices.
Okay.
Decolonizing education was one of our themes. I know we talked about that previously. But becoming aware that this country, which is full of people who have an African ancestry, as well as many other countries, have influenced the culture and identity of the Bahamas, but we cannot deny the strength of the West African influence on the culture here. And to take pride in that, to honor that, to recognize it, to research that, as some of our scholars and collaborators, Angelique McKay and Christopher Davis, have been working on connecting our practices here in the Bahamas to West African performing arts forms. That's also been a very important part of our work. So in addition to the Shirley Hall Bass Dance Educators Forum, which for the seventh annual forum this year, we have a very different format. We are focusing on sharing the work of our new consultancy, which is with the Ministry of Education. Glenys Hannah Martin has been very understanding of our work and mission. And really, when I approached her around the development of performing arts standards so we could have national expectations for children in every grade in public school, Robert, I cannot explain to you how committed I am to providing opportunities to public school. I know what kind of fantastic education you offer these children in your studio, but they have to pay for those classes.
Yeah.
And not every child can pay for that type of performance training. Another thing that is important about reaching the children through public schools is really what Hannah Martin tasked me with, and that was two things. The first was the development of standards for performing arts, what every child should be able to know and do in dance, in drama, in media arts, which is animation and film, as well as music. As you know, you can become a certified music teacher. You can become a certified visual arts teacher at the University of the Bahamas right now. But at this time, we are not matriculating any dance or drama teachers. Yeah?
Yeah.
So Hannah Martin said, what are we going to do about now? And she gave me a second mandate, and that mandate was to develop arts integration programming. And I'm really happy to share with you that we just finished our first Arts 900 course. It's at the University of the Bahamas.
Explain to the public what art integration is.
Sure, absolutely. So when we talk about arts in isolation, you might think of a violin lesson or a piano lesson or a dance class, and that is very specific. It's very specific about getting the skills and knowledge for that art form. But just as you and I know, nobody ever comes up and asks you to do an algebra equation in your life. For most of us that don't become professional performing artists, there are skills to gain from the integration of performing arts in the public school. Tying it to history, for example. My favorite example is, of course, we know the Burma Road riots, right? Mm-hmm. But do we know that the British banned Junkanoo?
Yes.
Immediately after the Burma Road
yes.
riots. That's integration. That's teaching history and also a kind of criticality where we understand that our art forms are tied to our social and political realities, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That is integration. Integration is about nutrition. This is my body. How do I operate my body so that I can do these things with my body, whether it be dance or drama? We're talking about communication, clear communication. Those are skills, collaboration. Across any performing arts, you are developing skills in creativity, collaboration, communication. And so when we speak about performing arts integration, we are talking about the classroom teacher, not the specialist, mm-hmm. getting support in making the classroom environment, whether it's a first grade student or a fourth grade student or a student in high school, engaging them through the arts. That doesn't mean that the teacher has to be able to dance. That means the teacher should be able to show a video comparing two mm-hmm. art forms.
Yes.
Let's compare and contrast Junkanoo in Jamaica, Junkanoo in the Bahamas. Let's compare and contrast the costuming in different festivals. Let's compare and contrast the type of break and scrape music that sometimes sounds a little bit like a calypso. Depends on where you're from and what you're
right. Yes.
What informs our valuation of what we appreciate. That's arts integration.
Yes.
It's taking it out of isolation and putting it into the lived experiences of people.
Well, you know, back in the day, I think art integration have always been a part of education, but I think persons were not completely aware of it, their contribution. I mean, in terms of what art integration have played. For example, I remember learning my alphabet, and it was done to music.
Mozart song, right? Yeah.
Or you know, people have a way of singing the alphabet A, B, C, D, E, right? So it's so that the child would learn the alphabet, the concept of the alphabet, it is sung. And so persons did this because they found that that was an effective way of disseminating the information that they're trying to get the kids to get, basically. Mm-hmm. But it has always been around. I think it's time that an awareness of this happened. You know, this is I think this is a very special moment for us in the Bahamas, and I'm hoping that what you are doing can ricochet in certain areas. What are some of the areas you think would benefit from?
So we have a national performing arts initiative right now. And the reason it is a national initiative and the reason it's really beyond our the scope of work that we have just through our consultancy is that what we're talking about when we talk about performing arts education in the schools, when we talk about exposure to high quality, cathartic experience of watching a really incredible dance piece or listening to a really incredible piece of music. We are talking about societal change.
Mm-hmm.
I am talking to you about self-regulation, mm-hmm. emotional regulation,
mm-hmm.
self-control over my feelings and my body,
mm-hmm.
and awareness. This comes through the practice of the arts. We have students in this country, we all know students that are on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
We have students that are special needs. Within our organization, our JEDI officer, Shar Goldsmith, is working with the Center for the Deaf
mm-hmm.
on using the arts to engage children through modalities that not everybody can push that pencil in the same way. Not everyone has that book smart. So it's a way of bringing joy into the classroom as well, joy into the learning experience so that I have something to look forward to. If I'm engaged in a positive experience in my learning environment, that increases my attendance, that increases my absorption and retention of the material because my heart and my spirit are engaged in the work. So I see this work as a way of engaging students of different abilities, students who are neurodivergent, as well as something we have to recognize that our public schools in the Bahamas are increasingly diverse.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just have these Bahamian kids coming from Bahamian households speaking
mm-hmm.
English.
Mm-hmm.
We have other languages, other cultures
mm-hmm.
in our public schools. And
mm-hmm.
so how do we make those children who are often born here in this country
mm-hmm.
feel celebrated, feel welcomed, feel that they belong? Same way we make the Bahamian kids feel welcome, by playing their songs.
Yes.
By letting them tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
By letting them show us their folk dances.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you have a respectful community in the school. And you have a more respectful society.
Yeah, I see where you're going with this, because you know what is the, from what I'm concerned. I mean, we all are connected. We all are connected, and I think it has. If you actually kind of weigh it, you realize that we want the same thing in life, and we are similar in many ways than we think. And I think we need to sensitize people to acknowledge the similarities and differences, you know, of who we are, basically, mm-hmm. as human beings, as Caribbean people, and as emerging cultures,
mm-hmm.
you know, or cultures that have lived separately and apart, but there's beauty when they come together and you're able to see the similarities and differences and, you know, likes, dislikes, all that sort of thing. You know, there's beauty in that. And again, I think you guys are on the right path. And I just hope that this, it's supported in a way that it need to be. For years, we've been fighting to try and get things done in terms of the art, but we don't think persons are serious about it. I don't think any government have been serious about it. I think persons only see the arts when there's something need to be represented. I mean, people are knowledgeable enough to know that the arts put the beautiful coloring on everything that you're trying to do. So whenever something happens, they always pull in the art.
Yeah, but I want to say this, and I think this is foundational to what I learned from my great aunt Shirley, is the arts, and Nicolene DeGrasse Johnson, who is a Jamaican scholar that a lot of our work is based in, the arts is the stuff of our culture. It's not the fluff. It's not the stuff we add on after. It is literally who we are as a people. It's our identity. It's our history. You can really see almost the footprint, right, of the different cultural influences that came to the Bahamas almost temporally, right? Yeah, there were people coming with the Lutheran adventurers. Yeah, there were people coming from Ghana when that place was occupied by Portugal, but then it was occupied by the Dutch, and then it was occupied by the English. Mm-hmm. So in what ways did they have influence over this culture as this island was filled with people from all over,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to say is that our work is research-based, and so there is the work of scholar Goldie Muhammad that talks about five pursuits. And for me, when I read this work, it really resonated with me with performing arts, because she is talking about identity.
Okay.
There is no way you don't have an identity if you don't have an understanding of your cultural performances and your cultural stories and who you are. That's your identity, right? Mm-hmm. It's also in her philosophy to have skills and intellect. You have to be able to do these things, right? You have to have a certain level of skill, or at least be able to understand what is required to execute those projects.
Right.
We also have to have a sense of criticality. If you show me everybody down here doing classical ballet and I say, but how many of us are teaching a West African dance form and we don't? Now I'm going to say why.
Mm-hmm.
And that engenders in the student an ask, a question that will develop in them criticality.
Yeah.
Right? Why am I going for these American brands? Why am I going for this American style? Why am I going for this ballet? It is because of our inculcation and the dominant cultural narrative, which is a part of being a colonized society. But guess what? We're free. This is an independent nation. And so why not liberate the minds of our children through an acceptance? And the final precept, a joyful embrace of their identity, their culture, right, and who they are. So that's one of the foundational practices that we're implementing in this curriculum. And the other is social justice, right? Again, with leaning into the identity, leaning into diversity, leaning into justice, and then leaning into action. What can you do? Empowering the children with a sense of, I can express myself creatively and make change. That's what these songs are about, right?
Right.
That's what our dances are about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's interesting. Tell us about the program at the university.
I would love to. So this, I have to say, is fully inspired by Arlene Nash Ferguson, who I have, over the course of the past 10 years, you know, she's always out at every cultural festival.
I love her to death.
She is out there getting the word out about the significance of Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen her out in these spaces or at her EduCulture site, what she has is a poster that she designed many years ago with Junkanoo in the center and all around it, the life skills, business management, right?
Mm-hmm.
Budgeting, organizational, like these are the things that are required in order to put on a parade like that. Of course the creativity, of course the design, right? But when you think about the life skills, the collaboration, the management skills, you got to be on time, right?
Yeah.
The integrity, the commitment. So she has this incredible chart. I looked at that chart. I said, this woman understands what I'm talking about when I say arts integration. It is not something you have to force. You just have to see it. It's right there.
Yeah.
And we took those ideas and we invited 8 Junkanoo scholars: Pamela Burnside, Angelique McKay, Chris Justillian, Dr. Jacinta Higgs, whose West African philosophies influenced the entire curriculum of her school. We heard from just incredible leaders in Junkanoo, and then we had partners These are students who are put on scholarship through Ministry of Education and through our Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project. We had 17 participants in the class, and we partnered classroom teachers with performing artists who listened to these incredibly powerful lectures by Arlene Nash Ferguson, by Dr. Jacinta Higgs. And then after receiving that information, which was amazing, Nicolette Bethel came in and spoke, a very powerful lecture on the history of Junkanoo within its social and political contexts. After listening to these lectures, those carefully paired partners, one an artist, one a teacher, said, now how could we bring this to our children? And they wrote lessons. We developed an integrated lesson planning template, which asked them to consider those same precepts around joy, intellect, criticality. We asked them to consider if there was social justice that could be taught in these stories and lessons, or identity, issues of identity that could be communicated. And these lesson plans are off the chain. And these lesson plans developed by Bahamians, by Bahamian teachers who know the context of the public school, developed by Bahamian artists who know the depth of Bahamian culture. And these lessons are going to make up our new curriculum. We put that class on in the spring for 8 weeks, and it's going to be offered again this October with scholarships. We have 10 scholarships again.
Good stuff.
And we're really looking forward to seeing how this curriculum that we're putting to the nation is developed by Bahamians for Bahamians.
The thing is, I really feel what you guys are doing and what you're doing. I feel it, and I know the importance of it. I know the urgency of it. I'm kind of skeptical though.
But I hear the but.
Yeah, the but. After working so hard and doing this wonderful proposal and programs and all the stuff that we are talking about, it support.
Mm-hmm.
Support.
Mm-hmm.
Once this program have been, all the things that you talk about have been instituted, how is it going to be supported? How is it going to be encouraged? How is it going to be maintained for a lifetime?
Okay, here I come. So in my proposals, I always have three presentations. One is the planning. And in my planning, I try and demonstrate how Bahamian I am, how absolutely I am simply a facilitator of this work, but then I'm pulling on experts like Keyshawn Monroe and Dr. Ian Strawn and Nico Bethel. These are all people that are contributing to the development of the curriculum. Chris Justillian, who is, of course, a wonderful music professor at UB. So in my planning, I make sure that I'm being culturally responsive and inclusive. In the implementation, right, and the sustainability, I have a plan, and it's called the Teacher Leader Program.
Okay.
We've gotten approval from this, from the Ministry of Education, and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be offering additional training for all of the teachers in the primary schools, in one teacher in each school in Nassau, one teacher in each school in Freeport, and those teachers are going to be trained additionally in best practices of arts integration. They're going to be given our digital resources. They're going to be allowed to go from October through May for an additional monthly thematic introduction into integration of the arts. We start in October with communication. How do you communicate through dance? How do you communicate through music? How do you communicate through drama, through media arts? And then we move into culture the next month. These teachers who are not outsiders coming in, but teachers, classroom teachers, next door to you, they will be the ones who can support. And I don't want to say push, because these are people in relationship with that school community who we will be in touch with directly, who will receive additional training and be able to offer lesson plans that are being developed by our Arts 900 cohort, resources that are being developed by incredible professional artists who have been participating in a professional learning community that I'd like to tell you about as well. But that's a part of our sustainability plan. For my two cents, I'm going to Eleuthera, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to Eleuthera because we have been awarded a Disney grant, and within that Disney grant is a research component where we are going to be making sure that the methodology that we're talking about is effective and works. So there will be a pilot study in Eleuthera this spring. After those Arts 900 courses have been repeated and we've developed the lesson plans, we're going to implement those lessons. And I expect to be here most of this year, making sure our family island schools are well supported while we support our teacher leaders in the main city schools.
Awesome.
So that's the implementation plan.
Yeah. The Disney thing, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I think I can.
You can talk about
it? I think I can. Yeah. So as you know, I've established two organizations.
Right.
One is a U.S. nonprofit foundation in the United States because I came to understand why it seems to me that y'all just give the culture away. And y'all are just you're giving the culture away. And I think that is happening simply because we do not have the same tax structures, the same tax incentives that are provided to the arts organizations, well, that were provided to the arts organizations in the United States. I'm sure you've heard about our recent government cutting back the arts funding. But with a nonprofit organization in the United States, I can receive corporate monies from U.S. sponsors like Disney Cruise Lines to put up good works in performing arts education for the students in the school. So Disney is supporting our improvement and implementation of the Arts 900 course. Again, it's a continuing education class.
Good stuff.
And they're also funding us in our research component, which is the pilot program in the Eleuthera schools. So I hope that's just the beginning of a really beautiful relationship. I am very aware that I'm an American and that they're an American company. And so I'm sticking to our precepts and our foundational principles, which is really about being culturally responsive and letting Bahamians control the direction of this work.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow. It's a lot. What I would also like for, or like to hear, or like for your organization to also do is to implement a program that will probably encourage documentation in terms of writing Bahamian history. I don't know if that's something that y'all...
We are very much focused, Robert, on education.
Okay.
And while I will say this, in my position as a consultant with the Ministry of Education, one of the things that we are putting forth to our teacher leader program is providing them with the physical resources. I was a child in the Bahamas. I remember getting those coloring books. I remember those textbooks and treasuring those resources because they were so few and far between. So we are presenting a proposal to the minister that includes not only a journal for the students to correspond with, and that journal will have Bahamian performing arts history for them to interact with and respond to. Mm-hmm. It'll have lyrics from Bahamian songs for the students to interact and respond to. It'll have illustrations of famous Bahamian performing artists for the students to interact and respond to. And I was inspired by Carlito Catalano, our young classical Indian dancer, who was sharing with me how he had always had these aspirations and as a child had written them down. And when he pulled this little piece of paper out of his wallet, I thought he was just telling me a story. Mm-hmm. But he had really written down his goals of becoming a dancer, of becoming a pilot, and carried this paper. I said, wow, if we could give a book to every child, right, in the primary school so that they, too, could write down their creative ideas and their aspirations.
Yes.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I would like... I think we don't write enough here in the Bahamas. I think we write poetry, which is fantastic. And I think too late history, where persons are documenting history. But I think, you know, persons are really selective. But I think it's really important to the people, though, who are actually involved in the activity. Dancers need to write about dance. Actors need to write about acting.
Yes. And document their work.
And document the work. And not only the work of them, but the work of others that were no longer here. But I'm sure they have left a footprint. And so you can, you know, you could always gather things and put it together, at least if not accurate, as close to possible.
Let me tell you a little bit about our professional learning community that we started this last March that just ended their work in May, and we are now meeting this month to compile and organize those materials. The professional learning community model is something that I did learn in the States, but it's a way of getting to know people and relating to people and connecting to people so that they want to work because they have the same values.
Okay.
Right? Yes, we're paying these people, but there's also a connection of a personal connection and a shared value that really creates the best work. And in this professional learning community, we gathered 12 professional artists, Dr. Strawn, Chris Justillian, Nico Bethel was part of the Arts 900 class, but we basically had two theater people, two music people, two dance people, and two media arts people, to your point, Robert, that media arts is included in performing arts. As you said, we should be able to document and record our own work. If I'm a dancer, I need a reel to show my choreography. I need a reel to show, you know, my musical skills, how I perform. So to be trained across the board is a real consideration. But as we were working with these artists, Charlie Smith, he's a wonderful media artist, Dr. Keyshawn Monroe, these artists had a hard time pulling out examples that they could find solid record of. Ian's plays. When was the last time someone published Ian Strawn's plays? Like, we really have got to, we did discover that there was a deficit in the recording and the holding of a lot of these materials. And so the professional learning community from March until May, worked together to identify the best exemplars of Bahamian art practices in their discipline, organized by our UNESCO goals, communication, collaboration, creativity, all of those skills. Hey, critical thinking, very, very crucial to performing arts. Mm-hmm. And those exemplars are going to be available on a digital arts bank. So that if I am a teacher and I want to show my kids an example of an old Native Stew episode, okay, that should be available through our arts bank.
Yeah, that's, you know, information like that has been out there for, well, not as you know, readily available, but I remember in 1990s, the Bahamas was asked to do I don't know how it went about, but I don't know if you heard about this Smithsonian project that happened when people were able to, when they took a whole heap of Bahamians to on the Mall of Washington at Washington and did this whole display thing. And I remember them getting, I think right now I have a copy of, it's a copy of a videotape. There was music. There's book information, stuff like that. I wonder how many schools have that information. But stuff like that need to be recorded. Like right now, I am planning. For a while now, I've been trying to do this for about a year. And the thing is, it's to take the work of the National Dance Company, all the work that I can put my hand on. It's very difficult now because stuff has been put on videotape and videotapes eventually burns away, the images still burn, but as best I can to try and put this stuff, collect all this information as much as I can find, including photographs, etc., and put it into the archives because it is important that this information is available. My book recently, the person from the archive apparently went and went on sale at the chapter one. I think bought two copies for because that information is not. It's there in the archives, but it's not together. And so, hopefully, I would have helped a bit in bringing this information together, so you come in and you can go and you can sit. I know as a student in New York, I would go to Lincoln Center and go into the archives they have there and sit down and watch a videotape of something when there was time that I had to study a piece of work or something like that. You could find the work in the archives.
The Jerome Robbins Library,
yes.
The New York Public Library,
yes,
in
yes.
Lincoln Center.
You go right in there, go right to the left of the building, go all the way in the back there, So I'm hoping that we could create that same effect because we need to have that information. My thing is I'm a great proponent of Bahamian information being recorded and made available for the next generation of Bahamian. I think it's really sad that we live a life and there's no information.
And we are not alone in that. As you know, Ian Poitier has been talking a lot about CAPAS.
Okay.
And part of his vision includes, as does mine and yours, this archival project. So I have a meeting set up to speak with him about collaborating on that as well. We're all looking to do the same thing, which is to preserve will recognize first that the Bahamas is replete for centuries of Bahamian culture and performing artists. And then to put those, I mean, I just had an experience outside in the front of the studio where I choreographed for the National Youth Choir, a suite, a Porgy and Bess suite, and they're still doing that choreography now.
Okay.
Now, do we know that Chris Carroll, the American Shirley Hall Bass great niece, did that in 2000?
Okay.
Probably not.
Right.
You know, and I don't need to credit for that, but we should know that that's not a Bahamian.
Right.
At least.
Absolutely.
Right? So things like that, it is important. It is important.
Yeah, we need to. Like I told you this morning, my job right now, one of the things I want to do is I want to find every Bahamian that's out there that are dancers. Every Bahamian that's out there that have ties to the Bahamas. You know, I want to find those kids because it is important.
And they do exist.
And
Ms. Kemp, we know you're out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talk. Yeah. Shaness, if you're listening. Yeah, we're talking. Her and I always have conversations because she is concerned about the direction of dance in this country. And she has really been doing well for herself. I'm very proud of her. She's not my student, but she has grown up to be somebody very special. She's exposed to the world and she knows exactly what.
And she's representing the country.
She's representing the
country. That last name. The minute I saw that last name, I was at a dance conference in the States.
Yeah.
And I said, Kemp, huh? I know my people.
Yeah.
I want to say this to you, and this is very fresh in my soul, and I probably should think twice before I say it, but I'm going to say it. As I said, you know, when I think about performing arts education, I think about life skills. I think about community. I think about culture. I think about these big ideas. But there's also something to be said for the orange economy.
Yeah.
And that we're in a tourist economy. Mm-hmm. And these tourists come here for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I was sitting recently in a very large hotel, I will not name a name, and was so impressed by the talent of the band. They were incredible Bahamian band, great musician, everybody singing, great orchestration of the music. And I said, yes, this is what it's about. High-end, quality entertainment. Then I started watching and seeing how the tourists were interacting with the performers. And I became troubled.
Okay.
I became so troubled. I doubted myself, Robert. I said, what am I doing? Because what we don't want to do is sacrifice our culture or subject our people to, I'm going to call it the white gates. This is a term in the research. Subject our people to the white gaze, subject our people to a forced choice. Now, I'm not here to tell artists what they can and cannot do. I'm not here to tell an artist, ooh, you're selling out because you're singing in some hotel. That's not what, but what we can do is that we can teach the children what their culture is so that they can make informed choices.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so that if I choose to make a dollar tonight by letting that tourist, whatever, tell me what song to play or how to shake, whatever, I'm making an informed decision, yeah, versus an economic decision.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, I don't know. You guys are on the right track. So please continue. Do not stop. Tell us about the program that you have coming up next week.
I'm so excited. All right. So for 7 years, we've done the Shirley Hall Bass Dance Educators Forum. And that was focused on best practices. It was focused on sharing dance styles. How do we educate children both in the public school setting as well as best practices for pre-professional and professional dancers? However, with the consultancy contract, we're shifting our focus for the forum this year to present our work. These phenomenal people that I've been telling you about that were part of our professional learning community that I squeezed real hard to make that pitcher a switcher that we need to pour over all the kids, all their culture, all their arts. They will be sharing what the process was like in developing the goals for the country in performing arts. We're also going to be joined by some of our students from the Arts 900 class at the university who will be testifying. These are the professional teachers and artists who collaborated over the Junkanoo course that we took. Methods of integration, and hopefully people will be inspired to come out and sign up for that class again that's going to be offered over Zoom as a continuing education course in the fall. We're going to be presenting the goals that we have developed that are based in UNESCO standards, but because our Bahamian professionals have really put their hands on these goals and articulated in their own words. I got to give a shout out to Charlie Smith. You know, I've got to give a shout out for these professional artists who are not necessarily educators, but know their craft, and for them to put to paper like you said, the history and the language that is so specific to the Bahamas. That's what we're going to be sharing. The Minister of Education, Glennis Hannah-Martin, is coming out to receive an award.
Okay.
We always give you, you were an awardee.
Oh,
you, you got the Lifetime Achievement Award, right?
Yes, I did.
You did. You
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So we'll be honoring Ralph McKinney,
our
retired Defense Force officer with a Lifetime Achievement Award. And then we have an incredible person who's really new to me, new to my world, and his name is Troika Hanna. He is Tanya Hanna's son.
He's
a musician. He's an educator. He lives in Tennessee.
Yes, I think I remember him. He did some advertising and stuff like that. His parents,
Very, very, he's been recently recognized by the mayor of Nashville for his performing arts education programming.
Super.
And it's just like Shirley. The Legacy Award we give to people doing it like Shirley.
Absolutely.
So he's running a cultural exchange program like Shirley, focused on, again, media arts, children learning how to animate. Those video games the kids are playing, that's performing arts.
Yeah.
There's a story. There's animation.
Yeah.
There's a drama. So... That's our program.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to do it. My thing is, it's getting people to support, you know, because we can be talking about this and doing whatever we do to try and, but we could only be doing, sometimes you end up doing it, but you're doing it for yourself and not somebody else. And so, I would like to know that the program, anything that you guys are doing, it kind of touches the nerves of awareness, people's awareness. We need to, for example, I see a Bahamas right now where people are so aware of the arts, all aspects of the arts. It used to be that way back in the day when the Dundas did a performance and people supported it. And when the Bahamas Dance Theater or Mr. Farrington or persons did performances, people supported it. We've lost, I told somebody recently, we've lost about 20 years of everything in this country. We've just lost it. And that's just my opinion. But I want to see it get to a point where the person on the street talks about the National Dance Company, talk about the choir, talk about the program, the Shirley Hall Bass program, acknowledge the fact that they're educating, they're keeping things alive. By doing that, you keep Ms. Bass alive as well. You keep her, legacy, right?
Legacy project.
Right? But I just want to see it to a point where everybody knows about the National Dance Company. We just did a performance two weeks ago.
Two Saturdays, yeah.
And we fought with the first show and then the second show, of course. But we would like to see the company at some point get plenty, 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 as we say in the Bahamas, persons attending in the audience.
Absolutely.
And we want people to be able to talk about that, talk about every aspect of it.
And part of that is about, as you said, building community, building awareness, and for me, through public school education.
Yes.
That's how we get everybody.
Yeah.
Those children, I don't want to brag, but I think we're about to be Finland.
Okay.
If I could, I taught for 20 years in public schools in Chicago. I'm going to say over the hill just for context. Okay. But I taught for 20 years, and my practice, the children moved. They sang, they danced every 20 minutes. I had the highest scores. I had the best attendance. My methods work in the over-the-hill schools as the all-white school that I got to eventually 6 years later. Because these are pedagogically sound, culturally responsive, full whole brain engagement. This is the way to teach. This is, if you want a good school, you need the parents involved in the school. You want performance, you know. Have the kids perform. The parents will come. The parents will be involved. The parents want to see their children perform. So I really think, Robert, if what you're describing, for it to become true, the way we do it is through public school education.
Yeah.
Mommy, I got to go to school today. I have rehearsal. Mommy, I got to go to school. Yeah. My group is doing a poetry reading. Mommy, I got to get to school. I have to.
Yeah.
That is a real motivation. A joyful classroom, a joyful life includes performing arts education in the classroom. And so that, I believe, will change our society and change the trajectory and change how we value ourselves, right, as Bahamians, and how we value the culture of other people.
Paint for me a picture that you want to see in 5 years?
In 5 years?
I'm giving you...
I have a five-year plan. I have a five-year plan, Robert. Thank you for asking. What I see first is a focus on the primary school. So our as I said, we have a two-mandate program, one to develop the National Performing Arts Standards and the other to integrate these standards and to integrate performing arts into the schools. But how are we going to teach the performing arts standards really so that we can engender a level of performing arts through the orange economy that we not only have people who understand and know their culture and can identify and point to a Peanuts tailor and know who that is, but how can we create the next level, right, of performing artists in the country? And that is through advocacy for the development of a performing arts degree program. I am in full support of Ian Poitier's Capus Conservatory, which is open to non-degree seeking students who are incredibly talented but may not need that bachelor's degree. But for those of us who want to teach, for those of us who want to pursue theater at a higher level, technical theater, all of those elements of theater, it's not just performance, lighting, stage management. Again, I'm thinking of Arlie Nash Ferguson's Junkanoo example, where there's so much business to be done in Junkanoo. But in 5 years, I would hope that the University of the Bahamas will have risen to the challenge and task of developing a performing arts bachelor's degree program with a teacher certification in either dance or drama. In this way, I'm cool, and I believe in the public school teacher because I was one. I'm counting on them in this first rollout of the standards. So in 5 years, I would like to see a home for the National Dance Company, the National Dance School, a home for the National Youth Choir, a home for the National Orchestra. I don't understand what we're doing by not having a building to house these very important arts organizations. Very important. So that's my five-year plan.
Well, you know, they talking about the housing of the national entities as well. I think a couple of years ago it was mentioned that possibly getting some property out of the sports center. I think this was somebody was probably blowing smoke, I guess. But I would like to see that happen. I'd like to see that happen still, you know. But I'm hoping, and I would like to see all the teachers and schools and everything else and take part, be a part of what you guys are doing. Because my thing is, and I always conclude when I talk to my students, I say to them, you know, it's about the greater good. It's just not about me. It's about the future. It's about the longevity of the arts. It's about many things, and I'm just a small speck, a small part of it. It's what you guys are doing is larger than me. It's larger than you.
It's larger than me. I really think that Shirley came to the Bahamas at a time of independence, of liberation. It was 1968, and I think what she saw and what the conversation at the time is, this is the future. This is our own country. We've got to go. I read the white paper for education. I read that right away when I started teaching at the School of Education at COB. That was a vision. That white paper was about equity for children with disabilities, for women. It included performing arts. It was a brilliant vision. And I think Shirley had a vision, and I don't think Shirley could get that vision done in her lifetime.
No.
And so we got to carry it forth because... She recognized the value of Bahamian creativity and arts in both a very practical, everyday, life skill kind of way, as well as the cathartic, high art form that we saw with you dancing with Dance Theater of Harlem. We need both and, right? An appreciation of the arts, support of the arts through the lay people, as well as world-class performing artists. And I am proposing that our work with the Shirley Hall Bass Legacy Project in this consultancy is just the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, persons have done a lot in the country now, and I just need to see the words and the actions and stuff come out of those pages, come to life. Similar situation in 1980s again, the Bahamas, I can't remember how it was actually done, but I'm sure you see in this document, the Schaefer Reports. Okay, I probably need to send you a copy of that. The Schaefer Report was, they had this guy, Dr. Paul Schaefer, I think he was from Canada or someplace, who came to the Bahamas and did some research. And he presented a document that actually gave us an idea of what it is that we need to be doing as a country to develop the arts. He had articulated music, the aspects of music, the aspects of dance, the aspects of drama. He had articulated many aspects of Bahamian culture and Bahamian entertainment. He had articulated these things. Of course, if you see the, and of course he came up with figures. There were actually figures applied to them. And apparently that document just got thrown to the side. It was, you hear from it, it was on this person's desk, it was on that person's desk. And see, the reason why I brought that up too, and I'm saying this because I don't want y'all to be able to do the same thing. I mean, I'm seeing what you're doing. I believe in what you are doing, but I need to see and I need to feel that what's happening now, that whole thing. And I know you all are making waves, but my thing is, I wanted to see it continued beyond
that sustainability.
My existence,
yeah.
And everything else. It need to be a thing. It need to be embedded in, you know, and we need to help. We need the help of everybody. I need to be all the governments, whether you're FNM, PLP, whatever P or whatever F you are.
And all of the ministries.
All the ministries.
You can't tell me there's a difference between culture and education,
right. They need
and
to be
tourism.
A, right. There need to be consistency. It needs to be continued. Mm-hmm. And there need to be that transition. It needs to go, not because a government come in, something stops. The school that they are now creating, that performing arts school, I don't know what is
campus.
That school, I don't want to see, even though, you know, that what they are doing is being presented. It's larger than me, it's larger than you, it's larger than everybody. Mm-hmm. But what I would like to see is that is not conflicted with whoever is in power.
That's right. Well, my understanding is this work is going to be continuing no matter who's in government. That's my contract. And that we have a scalable rollout. We're starting with the primary schools. We're focusing on primary. We're training up teachers in the classroom. We're advocating very strongly for a degree program at the University of the Bahamas. And I don't see I'm going anywhere anytime soon, Robert.
Let me ask you a question. What is the relationship between the program that you're doing now and the present University of the Bahamas Dance 101?
So when we reached out, you'll remember, because we started a dance advisory team, mm-hmm. with the University of the Bahamas to see what would be involved in developing a degree program.
Right.
That kind of got started and then it kind of idled. My organization, Dr. Butler and I, went straight to the office of Ian Strawn and we said, we want to know what's required for that degree program because we don't want to get idle. We don't want to wait. So we've developed a survey. We did the research. We've done a lot of the legwork that is required prior to establishing a degree.
Okay.
They also added, in that same season, this is about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. the Dance 101, Drama 101, Drama 102, and I think there's Dance 102 now, Robert. Aren't there two dance courses?
Just 101.
Just 101.
Yeah.
So the Dance 102. These are elective classes that are offered at the university. They are not towards that specific degree that I was speaking about. That's not been established yet.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say to you, we as an organization, we're very clear about the steps and protocols and procedures into getting that work done.
Mm.
I would hope that now that the University of the Bahamas is through its main accreditation preparations and going, that's been a consuming thing at the university for a number of years.
Okay.
I would hope that as soon as that process has been completed, we can pick up where we were before and push hard to get those degree programs in place. And that is the relationship between the Dance 101.
Super. Well, Kristen, I'm always grateful when I see you. You breathe a kind of a sigh of relief when you come into Nassau.
I'm working.
I know when you're here, you're working. You're not just here. I'm just sucking up the air. And
I'm working.
You're working.
I'm working.
Yeah.
I'm working.
So on behalf of everybody, persons in the dance community here, I want to thank you. And, you know, I'm here. I'm always here to assist in any capacity I can. It's now limited.
This alone, if you will allow me to say this one more time. Next Saturday, July 26th,
yes.
At the University of the Bahamas,
yes.
In the Franklin K. Wilson Building,
sure.
In the RBC Auditorium,
yes.
From 10 o'clock to 2, If you want to see me and my doppelganger,
yes.
Glennis Hannah Martin,
yes.
talk about this incredible programming, please come and join us.
Yeah. Talk a bit more about it quickly because we got...
Like I said, you're going to get to see every component of our plan in action. We have our specialists in town. We have our PLC members sharing about their work. We have testimonials coming from our participants from the online course that will be offered again. And we have the samples of the goals that we've based in our UNESCO studies, and the entire process by which we will roll this out will be on display for discussion. The goals will be available for public comment and review because, of course, it's not over till the people say, right?
Okay.
So please come out and be heard.
So tell us where the information concerning this is all located,
yeah.
where you find it.
We are Shirley Bass Foundation, FDN, on Instagram, Shirley Bass Foundation. And then our website is ShirleyHallBassFoundation.org. And if you click on Bahamas, you'll see not only our entire history of work here, but the events tab as well will give you all the specific information for our free public presentation of our year of work.
Yeah, wonderful. Free.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just throw this in there too while we're at it. We're the National Dance Company. We're hoping to do a free concert in October. So hopefully we can get the public out and really get to see what it is that we do. And we're trying to rebrand the company in a certain way. So, you know. But, Kristen, it's always nice, man. Like I say, when you're here, I should say home.
Home.
Yes.
I reach.
Yeah, you reach. I think if anybody understands, I think you do. And it's always nice to have you on my podcast. And like I say, this podcast has been heard in a couple of countries around the world. And obviously, they're appreciating it and because we're saying something. And the whole idea behind this podcast, like I said initially, is to be a platform for the arts, for dance, for cultural anything, basically, to talk about. And at the end of this process, you'll be smarter and you'll have more information that you didn't have. So, you know, I'm always grateful to bring this podcast to you. So, Kristen, this is about the time when I start to
change your voice into a one-dance sleepy time.
Yeah, but it's just amazing. So, if there's anything else that you want to say.
Last two things.
Sure.
I have to give a shout-out to Dr. Keyshawn Monroe, because we would not be able to do this work without his support and the collaboration with the School of Communication, Arts and Communication.
Keyshawn, nice guy. I've gotten to know him over the past.
Really, wonderful.
Yeah.
And any public school teachers, private or parochial school teachers,
yeah.
you need to come out and see what this work is about.
Yeah,
we're going to
yeah.
get them excited.
Yeah, I want to do some. I've seen some of his beautiful paintings, and I want to actually work along with it.
He has been a valuable member and contributed so much to this curriculum development project.
Super. Yeah, very open guy, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Amazing man, yeah. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it has been so nice to have your ear. And just stay tuned. There are more podcasts to come. As a matter of fact, we are now investigating the possibility of having Tea and Talk, having the visual component of it. So now you would not only get to hear, but you also get to see who our guest is and see who Robert Bain is, actually. So until next time. This is Robert Bain, and you're listening to Tea and Talk, coming from Nassau, Bahamas.
You're listening to the podcast, Tea and Talk.
The views and opinion expressed in this podcast are those of the hosts and guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entity or organizations.